As the Warren County Radio Bible School came to a close in the last session, we were talking about the kind of laborers God needs in His harvest. And that is the kind of preachers He needs in His pulpit. And this is what we read from Elam's notes. God sends laborers into His harvest, and all His seeds are the right kind, and all who preach are not God sent. Note. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife and of faction, Philippians 1:15-17. Some preach their own wisdom and theories and speculations, seeking their own glory, John 7:18. He only seeks God's glory, who seeks and does and preaches only the will of God, all of it, but no more, and for the wages which He pays. Some preach themselves, their own exploits, families, experiences, and wisdoms and ways. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Paul says, in his day, many were corrupting the word of God. And the margin says, they were making merchandise of it. While he preached Christ in sincerity, and of God in God's sight, 2 Corinthians 2:17. Some with vain words make merchandise of the churches, 2 Peter 2:3, pretending to seek the good of the churches. They seek their own profit. This is hypocrisy. Hence Paul says they preached with feigned words. Some walk in craftiness and handle the word of God deceitfully. But Paul commended himself to every man's conscience in the sight of God, 2 Corinthians 4:2. Satan fashions himself into an angel of light, and his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works, 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. With at least 7 classes of teachers and preachers prompted by wrong motives, and striving to accomplish unholy purposes, we must feel the force of the necessity of praying God to send only one true and faithful class into His harvest. There have been many false, mercenary, self-seeking teachers and preachers since Cain killed Abel, and will be to the end of time. The Church of God should have sufficient knowledge of the Bible, sufficiently clear and conscientious convictions, and sufficiently strong courage to distinguish always between the false and the true, and to turn from the former. In John 4:36-38, we read, He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that he soweth, and he that reapeth may rejoice together. For herein is the saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap, that whereupon ye have not labored, others have labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The state of true cooperation of the sower and the reapers is explained here. They both rejoice together. While God has ordained that true preachers of the gospel should be supported, the wages, or fruit, reaped, is eternal life for themselves and all that they help to save. Who will work for such wages? Now that brings the end of that brings us to the end of that Sunday school lesson, the one about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. But at the end of John 4, we read another account, and this is how Jesus heals a nobleman's son. John 4:46-54, and we will begin that lesson in just a moment. Before we do, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're going to begin another lesson. This was a Sunday school lesson, the notes of which I have before me, were prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of September the 7th, 1924. It's about the time that Jesus heals a nobleman's son. The lesson text is John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. And here we read, that he came therefore again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will in no wise believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus spake unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, saying that his son lived. So he inquired of them what hour he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second sign that Jesus did, having come out of Judea into Galilee. The golden text for this lesson is John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the devotional reading is Psalm 100. And 30. For the inscription, we see this is a song of ascents. Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Jehovah. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Jehovah, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. That thou mayest be feared. I wait for Jehovah. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Yea, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, hope in Jehovah. For with Jehovah there is loving kindness, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Before we get into this Sunday school lesson, let's look at the geographical notes. Capernaum was one of the chief cities of Galilee, situated on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, on the border between the tribe of Zebulun and Naphtali. In Jesus' day, it is said to have had 30,000 inhabitants. It had a synagogue built by a Roman centurion, and we read about that in Luke 7, 1-5. A customs station where Matthew collected taxes in Matthew 9 and verse 9, and a Roman garrison. Jesus made his home there for 2 years, and it was called, in several places, his home city, and sometime at the margin, his home. It is a site now supposed to be Tel Hum. Cana has already been noted in lesson 4. That was a previous lesson, and we noticed that it was just a few miles, probably about 3 miles from Nazareth. That is, if we had properly identified where this Cana of Galilee is. Now, in John chapter 4, verses 43 through 45, we see that Jesus had left the woman and the Samaritans and the woman at the well, and it says, after 2 days he went from thence into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast. Now there's some notes to be had on this. Having spent 2 days at Sychar, teaching the Samaritans, many of whom accepted him as the Savior of the world, as we learned in the last lesson, Jesus went forth thence into Galilee, for which country he had started when he was detained at Sychar. Now, number 2, Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. This 4 connects this statement of John with some action of Jesus. Now, what was that action? Well, some say that it was Jesus' departure from Nazareth after his rejection there. And John omits this fact, but it is fully recorded by Luke in Luke chapter 4, verses 6 through 30. Others say that it was Jesus' avoidance of Nazareth at this time, that instead of stopping at Nazareth, he continued his journey to Cana, and that his rejection at Nazareth occurred later. It seems impossible, and therefore not necessary, to arrange the events of the life of Jesus in chronological order. Matthew, Mark, Luke, nor John do this. This statement made by Jesus is recorded in 3 places, all of which reference is made to his rejection at Nazareth, and it is possible that John here refers to the same event. However, Jesus knew that he would not be received at Nazareth, and it is probable for that reason that he did not go at this time. In this statement, Jesus declares a general truth, yet he does not mean that we cannot so live as to gain the respect, confidence, and admiration of our own immediate neighbors. Now, Christians are commanded to so live quiet, peaceful, in gravity and righteousness, so that they will win the favor of all and influence others to be Christians. The statement, "So when he came to Galilee," shows that while Jesus was either rejected at Nazareth or at this time, or he did not stop there, he was received by others in Galilee. The reason for his reception by the Galileans is given, because they saw all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. The Galileans, with all pious Israelites, attended the feast at Jerusalem. This was the feast of the Passover in the preceding spring, and the things which Jesus did there were the cleansing of the temple and the performing of miracles. Those who attended this feast had carried back the news of the wonderful works of Jesus. The hearty reception of Jesus by these Galileans is in striking contrast with the rejection of him by the rulers at Jerusalem. He spent much of his time and did much of his work in Galilee. All the apostles, except possibly Judas Iscariot, were of Galilee. It is supposed that that word Iscariot means from Kirioth, a town in Galilee. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. We read in John chapter 4 and verse 46, "He came therefore again to Cana of Galilee, where he made water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum." What is a nobleman? Well, it had been about 10 months since Jesus had turned this water to wine, his first miracle. This was his second return to Galilee since his baptism. Cana, as we have learned, was the home of Nathanael, and Jesus may have stopped with him. And that certain nobleman was one of the king's officers. Herod Antipas was then tetrarch of Galilee, and mentions Joanna, the wife of Cusus, Herod's steward, and Manaen, the foster brother of Herod the tetrarch. but there's not the slightest evidence that either Cusus or Manaen is the nobleman of this verse, and we have no way of ascertaining exactly who his was, but we know his son was sick.